And it gives me great pleasure now to introduce one of the co-chairs of the MISC board, Lily de Grandpré, who will be introducing our next speaker.
Bonjour tout le monde, ça me fait vraiment plaisir de vous voir tous ici en si grand nombre. Je ne vais pas vous donner toute la biographie de Bertrand parce que vous allez la trouver dans le document que vous avez sur le programme. So I'd like more to focus on Bertrand as a man. I've known Bertrand for 16 years. I've had the pleasure of working with Bertrand, too short a period, and I can tell you that as far as I'm concerned, he's the guru of creativity in Canada, and he's spreading the good word around the world with 5 offices. So it's my pleasure to welcome a man of heart, intelligence, and creativity, Bertrand.
Wow, thank you, Lily. This is very nice. Well, thanks for having me. So today, if we could have my hello slide. Hello. Yeah, so today I'm here to talk to you about, you know, there's this issue of talent in Canada and, you know, how do we go about it? And I thought I would come here and tell you a little bit about my story because I started a business. I didn't start it, actually. It started 20 years ago and I joined 3 years into the project, but it's quite a story because we started basically from a very, those who don't know who, what Sidley is, let me tell you a little bit about who we are and then I'll tell you how we got there. So who are we? Well, you know, what we do is, you know, it sounds very lofty, but we craft innovative consumer experiences. So far, you know, it's a bit opaque, but we'll get there. So we've been doing this since 1993. It started out of basically desperation. I graduated from McGill in 1988. Not the best time to find work in this city. And me and my colleague, basically out of desperation, because no one, you know, would hire us and give us the aspirations that we were hoping for, we just took matters into our own hands. Today we have 600 professionals from 27 countries around the world. And last year Forbes said that basically we're one of the top 5 creative agencies in the world. And we're quite popular. People talk about it. We're the number one agency in the world on Facebook. So, you know, kids and talent seems to be interested in what we do. And, you know, we've won tons of awards and accolades. And we're in 5 cities. And that's going to be part of what I tell you today, because we have offices in Montreal, Toronto, Paris, New York, and Amsterdam. And the reality is I don't need all these offices. I could do 100% of my business from Canada, if only Canada let me do it. So, but we'll get back to that later. So just to give you a bit of a taste for what we do, I have a quick video here.
A mobile app, an epic TV ad, a social community, a global event, an exhibition. What do these things have in common? To most agencies, nothing. But to us, they're one and the same. They're all moments of truth that define your brand. By mixing creative disciplines like no one else, we develop innovative consumer experiences. And nobody does it better. Thank you. Creating innovative consumer experiences is how we deliver stellar results for our clients. And it's what we call commercial creativity.
So sorry for the slightly boastful tone and manner of this thing, but we are, after all, an ad agency, and we compete with, it's a highly competitive market, but, you know, putting aside the language here, you know, how do we get there? As I said, you know, our story started in 93. You know, for Montreal is not known for this. We started this here, and my industry is based in LA, it's based in New York, it's based in Paris, it's based in London primarily. And so we had the ultimate outsider position to start what we did. And I have to say that at the beginning, this was extremely useful because it's sad to say, but in what we do, we started off in a less competitive environment. The city story would have simply been impossible had we started this in London. There's no way that a bunch of 23, and I was 27 back then, years old, people can get from nothing. And having never set foot in another agency, because typically how we start in our business is you start in a big company, and then you steal a client 20 years into the adventure. You don't start this from zero. So for us, you know, there's an irony because, you know, being from Canada and, you know, in a rather uncompetitive market with no massive clients to follow, because you have to realize that a company like Publicis, it's easy to become global because what you do is you follow Renault and L'Oréal around the world and, you know, it's easy to develop a network. Whereas for us, basically, we had no client to speak of. Montreal, you know, Canada has very few imperialistic brands. I mean, BlackBerry is one of them, Cirque du Soleil is one of them, Bombardier perhaps is one of them, but it's not even a consumer brand. It's a powerful company, but it's not an extremely powerful brand. So how did we do this? Well, first of all, we were sheltered in the Canadian market because it was less competitive, and we could develop a very unique business model. People like us are not supposed to do architecture and advertising. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to go into content. You're not supposed to start a TV channel as we've done. We're not supposed to go into production. So basically, we started off as a no-rule environment. And then, you know, in our journey, the defining moment was back in 2000 when we met with Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil, at that time, was looking for an interactive agency. These guys had a global pitch, you know, were more than 20 companies from around the world, and against all odds, we won. And when Guy Laliberté learned that we had won, he asked to meet us because he had no idea who we were. And when we, first time I met him, he said, you know, it was supposed to be a short meeting, a 5 minutes meeting. It turned out to be a 2 hours meeting, at the end of which he said something that really, really surprised me. He said, I'm going to change your life. Like, I thought that was a bit of a, you know, who says this to anyone? And I have to say that he has. He's delivered in spades on that because all of a sudden our whole aspirations change. And all of a sudden, you know, what should have been a business plan based on being successful in Montreal and maybe one day being successful in Toronto became a global quest, you know, around the world. And so today, basically, you know, we're the lead creative partner globally for Adidas, for Absolut Vodka, for Ubisoft, for a lot of massive brands around the world. And this was done from Canada. So in terms of talent, how did we do it? Well, what we found is, of course, as we started, and you said it before, as we started growing, the requirement for world-class talent became extremely important. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, it's hard to attract talent in Canada. I don't have to tell you that. Why is it hard? Well, for one thing, you can't change the weather. like today is a miserable day, and another example of, you know, something that's absolutely terrible. But unfortunately, Canada doesn't mean anything in the world when it comes to my industry, creativity. You know, if you ask someone, you know, what are the most creative cities in the world, I don't think that Toronto, Calgary, Montreal, Vancouver are actually top of mind. I hate to break it to you, but it's a hard sell. So how did we do it? Well, the first thing we leveraged is what we had, and that's why I'm speaking here today, because McGill was the first thing we had. It's a very international institution, and at the beginning, we were quite successful in attracting the international talent that was here at McGill. And the The sale is not too hard. If you're 23 years old, you know, you like good weed, you love Arcade Fire, you like the Mile End, this is a very attractive place, actually. It's actually pretty cool. And so at the beginning, we were very, very successful at attracting that talent. What became very difficult is we couldn't retain that talent. 2 years into the experience, you know, after a few years at McGill, after 2 years in Montreal, people would say, well, you know, I want to leave now. I want to go to New York. I want to go to the big times. So, you know, this is when we decided to expand. And the first place we went to is an unlikely one. It's Amsterdam. As I said before, you know, the great cities in the world for what we do are London, you know, New York. And why did we go to Amsterdam? Well, because we found a city that defined itself on the basis of talent. Amsterdam is a great case study for us because when we were searching for a country to go to, first of all, we discovered that the weed in Amsterdam was even better than the Montreal weed, which is a very important thing for what we do. But on top of that, we found an environment, it's basically a free market environment for talent. So here's a city, basically. Amsterdam's a village. It's hardly bigger than Quebec City. Not that Quebec City is a village. It's a very important city. But, you know, I don't tell that to Mel Labon. But we showed up there, and we found an environment where, for instance, when we shipped talent over there, people were given a 30% reduction on their taxes for 5 years, making it basically extremely, extremely attractive for creative industries to settle there. Now, that came with, you know, a lot of minuses. You know, the labor market, I don't have to tell you, in Europe is a lot less flexible. If someone works for me in my Paris or my Amsterdam office, you know, after 1 year and 1 day, if I have to fire them because I lose a piece of business, I owe them a year of salary. So it's not all perfect, but at least, you know, Amsterdam has created, basically, a positioning for itself. And they have identified what I call the creative industry. And I think that's one of the issues we have in Canada is that, you know, Canada, I think, has a lot to offer. I think that we need, it's a great country, I don't have to tell you that. But part of the problem is that for world-class talent, it doesn't mean anything. And we haven't, you know, you say Silicon Valley, I mean, you know, we know what Silicon Valley means. We know, if you say LA, you know what it stands for in the world. The problem with Canada is when it comes to talent, you know, and this is the branding guy speaking, there's a very, very significant issue because we don't tell our story and we're incapable of basically being relevant, you know, for this top talent. So what happened is, you know, today, quite frankly, my clients are never in the same city I'm in. So my clients are all over the world. It doesn't matter. You know, I could have 600 people in Montreal right now. You know, basically, if I could attract all the talent that I could to Canada, I would, but I can't. So it's very funny. I met a very famous politician who's running one of our governments recently, and she asked me, you know, what do you need to do? And I said, well, you know what you're doing is you're creating an opportunity. You and people are very proud of my company. They all say, oh, my God, you know, you're globally relevant, and you have offices around the world. And I said to that politician, I said, you know what? All these jobs should be here. All that talent should be here, because right now we've not created an environment for this talent to come. As I said, we have some measure of success in attracting 20-something people that love Arcade Fire and weed, but if I try to convince today a 45-year-old, you know, mother with a husband who wants to send kids to school, I mean, there's a lot of friction to coming to Canada. We're not making it easy for talent to come here. So for me, I think that, you know, the one of the solution, and if I was going to hope for something, is I think that we have to get out there. We have to create full fluidity for talent. At the end of the day, if Canada wants to be a world-class competitor in anything we do, doesn't matter if it's technology, engineering, you know, creativity or whatever, we have to open ourselves up to the best talent in the world, whether this talent comes from Canada or not. There's no way I can do what I'm doing. You know, sell Absolut Vodka in Brazil with a bunch of Tremblay and Saint-Gelais. It's just not possible. I don't want to be, you know, it helps to be Canadian, for sure. I mean, for us, it's a big part of the DNA of our business, and we feel that we are very well equipped to be entrepreneurs around the world. But we need that diversity. There's no way I can come to the best clients in the world with a monolithic group of people. And quite frankly, this is one of the reasons why we're winning. We're in a very homogenous Anglo-Saxon industry. Most of my competitors are British and American and very American and very British. So the Canadian brand of diversity, if you bring it to the world of the creative services, it really works. I mean, there is a massive potential for that. So what do we do? The other thing I wanted to show you today is and one of the reasons why I accepted to talk here is to show you one of the projects we've been working on. We started last year. We started a conference called C2MTL. And the idea, basically, and we came to all levels of governments and all, you know, the big, famous families of Montreal, and we said, you know, can you help us position Montreal as a creative capital? If we start by doing that, if we start by giving meaning to Brand Montreal and Brand Canada around the world for a talent, environment, we can make some headway. So I just have a quick video to show you about C2 Montreal, and then after that I'll open it up for questions. More of this. We need a commerce and creativity. We need a technology and commerce conference. We need these initiatives. But also, what we need, as I said, is a more fluid labor market, a labor market where we're confident. I mean, I think that Canadians can play a role. I mean, there's world-class creative talent in Canada. There's no doubt about it. But unless we open it up to the world, I don't think that we're going to be able to sustain the growth, or then you're going to force companies such as mine to basically open more and more offices around the world. And it's sad because at the end of the day, it's a little bit of another side of outsourcing, if you want. And it's not because price-wise we're competitive. It makes sense to do my business in Canada, but unfortunately, the governments are not making that easier for us. So, I mean, that's what I had to tell you today. So do you have questions for me? There's 5 minutes left. If not, I'm going to shut up and move away.
Bertrand, est-ce que tu penses que tu fais du progrès avec les gouvernements?
Non.
Quand tu dis que le gouvernement fait ça plus compliqué, tu parles de Québec ou tu parles de toutes les pays?
I think it's a Canadian issue. I think it would be very easy to finger point, you know, the language laws in Quebec. And you know, this is not, to me, I think that the conversation is bigger than that. I think that you know, we're not creative. We're not creating incentive for fluidity of labor in Canada. It's hard to get permit. Every time I hire someone, I have to justify, you know, whether I can find the equivalent talent locally. I mean, that, to me, that's a waste of time. I mean, if the best talent happens to be in Korea, I should be able to get a Korean person. And I think that these people are going to make a great contribution, not only for my business, but to this country. I mean, I'm the son of immigrants. I mean, my parents came here because they wanted, you know, to live here, and it's a very attractive place, and they stayed here, and I think that in the end, it was a great contribution to this country, and we have to continue to do this consistently.
Bonjour, hi, I'm Jason, I'm a student at McGill as well. J'ai une question de choses organiques. How do you keep things really relevant and organic, and when you're designing something like a conference that follows a certain model, like how do you, you said that you started the company as a no-rules environment, mais il y a des règles qu'on doit suivre. Alors, comment est-ce que vous avez, I don't know, how do you change things so that, how are you maintaining like a no rules environment all over the world?
It's the spirit of trying. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I don't know if my company will continue to be successful, but no one is going to be able, you know, tell us that we haven't tried. We haven't, you know, if you wake up one day and you say, you know what, there's disruptive change to make an architecture. So I think that for us it's the challenge. It's you know, like when we won the absolute business, you know, last year, I mean, you're competing for one of the most famous, you know, advertising account in the world. So if you're capable of maintaining this spirit of pioneering and winning, I think that, you know, that's how we do it. Yes?
Hi, I'm Nicholas, and I'm a student at Riverdale High School, and I was just curious to know, when does C2MTL take place, and who is it for?
C2MTL takes place on May 22nd, from May 20th to May 23rd, here in Montreal. It's for basically international C-level executive, some local executive, but also we have a special section for young talent. The Bronfen family is actually sponsoring tickets, basically, for young people such as yourself to join us and be inspired by the talent. And it's a big, big, big contribution that Stephen Bronfen and his wife Claudine have done to us. So it's very much part of, so what we want to do is basically inspire these people that come from all over the world. The keynote, it's not this year, you know, Richard Branson is going to show up. It's going to be quite interesting. So, yeah, so you should look into it.
All right, thank you.
Hi, my name is Ernest Hoffman. I was wondering, you mentioned that you're competing in a very Anglo-dominated market.
Yeah.
You know, your main competition is in London and New York. And I was wondering, you said that you managed to present Canada for Canada's diversity,
yeah,
as a kind of competitive advantage when you're going after contracts around the world. I was wondering, I'm familiar with Canada's diversity pitch to itself, you could say,
yeah,
or multiculturalism and so on. I'm wondering how you use, what is your pitch for Canada's diversity in a creative domain internationally?
It's quite easy. I mean, Canada, first of all, I find has a fantastic brand in terms of, you know, as a country. I don't think that we have a great brand for attracting talent, but the first thing is I'm in the business of assholes, you know, that have a massive ego, and you know, and that believe that they, you know, making an ad is actually a bigger contribution than solving cancer. And so for us, I mean, our approach is based on the fact that we're going to listen. It's what I call the minority mindset. I think that this is what we promote. I think Holland has it. If you look at, you know, Holland's relationship with Germany, and you know, the Dutch have been very good in international trade because they come somewhere and they say we're willing to listen. And you know, most of our clients are global brands, and they are struggling with the monolithic Anglo-American point of view. So for us, it's been very effective.
So you're saying that we don't have enough talent domestically to fulfill all of your needs
broadly.
So what can we do strategically in terms of improving the pipeline so that we have better talent getting to a level to be at a company like yours?
Yes. I think it's, you know, some of it, and I'm not saying that, you know, I think that Canada is good at providing us talent. I mean, there's still, you know, in my company, at least half of the people are Canadian. But there's something that Canada cannot provide me. They cannot give me the insight of a Brazilian copywriter who's going to write, you know, an ad on soccer. You know, like at the end of the day, there's nothing we could do. So right now, why can Holland attract a Brazilian copywriter? Why can New York attract a Brazilian copywriter? And Toronto and Montreal can't. I mean, that's where I'm struggling with. So for me, I think that Canadian institutions are very good at providing us. I mean, if I look at the quantity and the quality of talent that we have here, it's not the issue. For me, it's a diversity of talent that's a bigger issue.
Somewhat of a follow-up. I guess I've been very fortunate to travel the world, and I also worked in crowdsourcing for advertising campaigns, and I'm wondering, part of it is that I came back to Canada because of the environmental, I guess the benefit for me was a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, of course.
And so in that sense, I mean, I'd be curious to hear from you about the talent, not just the acquisition, but the maintaining of your talent here in Canada, in Montreal. From the surveys or from your outreach or your one-on-ones, what are you hearing from your team?
I think that talent likes to come here, but of course there's friction. At the end of the day, it's always a... you know, for us, basically, if someone who does what I do wants to accept a job in my New York City office, if it doesn't work out, you know, they have 20 other, you know, alternatives where they, you know, if it doesn't work at Sidley, they're going to work at Wyden and Kennedy or, you know, Crispin Porter or whatever. In Montreal, I mean, or, you know, even in Toronto, and I mean that as humbly as I can, there's no alternative, so it's a massive risk. I mean, you know, there is an issue where we haven't been able to have a creative industry to speak of. Whereas Amsterdam, funny enough, in spite of its very small scale, has a creative industry well identified, well defined, with a good set of competitors, where people go, yeah, it works. So it's not. I don't think that it's that Canada is unattractive. It's an issue of scale. It's an issue of framework. And it's an issue of telling a story effectively. Merci.
Merci beaucoup.